feel like. What a beautiful name it is, that chorus that we just sung. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a wonderful name it is. I always remember when I first saved, that previous pastor always used to take the mick out of me for saying the word wonderful for everything. Everything was wonderful to me. Well, it is, and it's still, everything it still is wonderful, because I enjoy my salvation. I revel in it, and don't focus on all the bits of me that's wrong, which is great. That's what God encourages us to do. But more importantly, what a powerful name it is. The powerful name of Jesus. Because doesn't that line up with the astonishing power of Jesus Christ that we've been preaching about in the life, the greatest life of all, of Jesus, in this particular section that we continue our study on the life of Jesus with that series of sermons or messages on the astonishing power of Jesus. If we could just drink that in, just that one statement, that God is well able to do the impossible, that impossible situation that you have in your life, we can give testimony today. I could give testimony to people in this church here this morning that could give testimony that they were facing an impossible situation, yet God broke through. Hallelujah. So He gives us that eternal hope. And I want you to know this morning that God is here, hallelujah, to heal the sick, to heal the brokenhearted, to transform your mind, to renew you in Christ Jesus, and make a difference in your life. And for those that you, your family and the members of your family, Carol, our heart goes out to you and your family, and we keep praying and believing that God is going to break through on Lauren's life. God will break through. Is it Sarah, the daughter? Yeah. Breakthrough on Sarah's life and on Natalie's life. We don't pray empty prayers. We don't pray, oh, I hope that you will be made better. Although we have that hope, and it's important to obviously have that hope. But we pray in the name of Jesus, this powerful name that we've been speaking about. And we've seen witness, we've seen testimony of the powerful things that God has been doing. That He came to make a difference. That He came to show up the falseness of the world as it was then. And He still comes today to show us, to show up the falseness, the false hope that people put in the world. That whatever it is that you're putting your hope on this morning, if it's not Jesus Christ, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Son of God, if you put your hope in anything else, then it's futile. It's vain. It will come to nothing. Put all your hope this morning in a God who claims to have the astonishing power of heaven itself. Hallelujah. And why does He claim it? Because He has it. Hallelujah. He is the Son of God. And we don't want to be fooled. You see, I believe that the reason is why Jesus has shown that He is the genuine article. The more you see something which is genuine, they have a program on TV when they examine precious pieces of art, and they look for the bits that they can absolutely endorse and say, this is the real deal. Everything else is fake. Well, I want to tell you this morning, my experience in Jesus Christ is that He is the real deal. And that every other false hope that has come into my life through in the years that I've lived has been something to deceive us. The miracles that He performed. No magic tricks. No illusions. And we contrast the difference between what is possible with God into your life. I keep saying some things repeatedly because I believe that there's some hard ground that needs to break through this morning in some people's heart that are putting it and dismissing what God can do. If that's you this morning, I pray that you will just allow God to speak into your heart this morning. And God's just given me that to say to whoever it is this morning, I believe He's not asking me to point anybody out, and I'm not using my own knowledge to say anything or do anything, but there's some hearts here this morning that really do need to believe that God can do the impossible. Hallelujah. And stop being fooled. You see, the more we see of the kingdom, of the realm of the kingdom of heaven, the more that we'll see that it contrasts so much with the kingdoms of this world. In John 8:44, there's a verse of scripture I would like to start off with this morning. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And some people, even Christians today, have allowed the father of lies to speak into their lives, certainly spoken into the world, and deceived them and fooled them. A liar is a falsifier. To utter or an untruth or attempt to deceive. That is his job. That is what this passage of scripture is. He says that he's the father of it. He's good at it. He's good at his job. But let me tell you, he's even better at his job. And that's Jesus Christ that can reveal that he is the deceiver this morning. So whereas we recognize there is a powerful God, there is an enemy out to deceive us this morning. It's what we stand in. And I believe that what we need to see is something out of this world to convince you this morning, to convince us that we really do need God. Because the biggest lie of all, and includes some Christians, is that man doesn't need God. You know, I'll do it on my own. I'll fix it up. I'll do everything now. That we can make it on our own strength. And when we've lived in that life for so long, the longer and the longer that it goes on, the more we need something which is out of this world, not more of the same. We don't need more of the same stuff which just lasts for a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever the seasons in our lives are. I need something that will break through, hallelujah, change my life once and for all, forever, and fit me ready for eternity to meet my Maker, my God, and my King. And that's only through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we've been working through some miracles that will show us that. Because the longer that we live in that lie, you know, the harder it is for us to believe that God can break through. It begins to condition us. Goes on. I'll come on to that in a minute. But we've spoken about the God of the trivial. I recap just to bring us back in and to show what we have been looking at about this astonishing God, the astonishing power of a God. The God of the trivial, but not the trivial God. Let's get that right. He is not a trivial God, but he is interested. But he turned water into wine. Jesus broke through and provided for his friends to save them from embarrassment on a wedding that was presented, and they ran out and they had a shortfall of wine. You see, if we go no further this morning than to know whatever your shortfall is, whatever your shortcomings are, wherever your failures are, God can step in and provide for you. You may not think you're up to it. You may not think you can do anything. Well, that's great, because it's not about you being able. It's about him being all able in you to do whatever it is that he has chosen to do, and the purpose. We can trust whatever the shortfall is, God can provide. You see, however small it is. Oh, it doesn't matter about that. It doesn't matter about that. You know, it does matter about that. God is interested in the small things which he showed through this. And then we have that beautiful message of the God over distance. We prayed the prayer this morning. God, send a word. It doesn't matter how far away the situation is. But when we see God in a context of time, we just look upon it. Wow, it's a massive world. He can send a word all the way around the world. Listen, if he can send a word that can speak the whole of creation into existence, all the universes and a cosmos, just by one word, which takes billions of however many light years to get there, can he not speak one word today that just can pop up the road and sort something out for us? So we send a word up to the road. We send a word up to what is the name of the street that they both live close to? It's, what's Rose's street? Penarthur Rivers is where man lives. It's Dufferin Terrace. But they live close together. It's only up the road. It's not 20 miles away like this day that this man came to Jesus and implored him and begged him to say, come to my house. How that man humbled himself. He put aside all his splendor, all that he was, everything in front of anybody. It didn't matter. He said, there is the man who can make the difference. There is the Jesus who can make the difference. Saints of God, here today is the Jesus that can make a difference in your life. And if we were to, as the saying says, get off our high horse, humble ourselves and get down and just say, Jesus, come and do it for me. Come and do it for my sins. Okay, I don't need to go to your house. And he just accepted it. He accepted the word of God. Saints of God, do we accept the word of God at the moment it is spoken into our lives and we are assured that God has done it? Let's see it in faith this morning. Hallelujah. The God of distance. It was some 20 miles. You see that man's assurance of the spoken word that he just rested. He just stopped off. I love that sermon that Craig brought, and that he just spent the night. I think it was shared that it would probably take, in journeys of those days, it would take about 8 hours to get there. And that's okay. Would he not want to rush home and see if his little boy was okay? He just stepped back and just went to the Premier Inn or Travel Lodge and stayed overnight and had a nice meal with his company that he was with, and it's okay, I'll go and see him well tomorrow. You see, that's the word of God that comes to us this morning, is that we see our friends and our people and the ones that we love, I see them well tomorrow. And because we don't just speak words of a false and empty hope, of hoping that something might happen. We speak it with words of assurance to say that Jesus will make it happen. And we speak it in faith. Let's become a people of faith. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of faith. The gift of working in miracles. Let's get on our knees and ask God, give the church of Jesus Christ here at Ustrup Manor the gift of faith. The gift to speak words that will go past everything that we see. And believe that God is the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. So this morning, we look at the astonishing power of Jesus over time. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Let's turn with me, please, and we'll have a look at Revelations 1 and 8. Because we forget this. I am... Jesus said, I am the great I am. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Praise the Lord. And thinking about this, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, which means the beginning and the end. Beginning and end of what? Because my understanding now that perhaps I got a better understanding, that there was no beginning and that there is no end in eternity. So God speaks to us in words that we'll understand, because sometimes we need to know that there is a start and an end. So maybe it's in your beginning this morning, and maybe it's in your end today. Because we can, in our limited understanding, we could get perhaps a little bit confused on that. We could say, well, how did it start with God? How's it going to end?
With God.
Amen. What about all the bits in between? With God. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am that was and is to come. In other words, it's everything about us. God is the God of time. He is. And we can't even get into a debate or a discussion or an understanding, really, when we see time and eternity, because I believe they're all wrapped around one another, and I'm not going to share you my theology on that, because I'll see some puzzled faces this morning. But I know that God controls it all. And whatever we see, we see things that have happened, that are happening, and that will happen. You know, I believe that God can change all that. He can change everything. He can rub away some hurts of the past, for instance, because of his promise through Manasseh, through the tribe of Israel, that I will cause you to forget. Isn't that a wonderful promise? You see, the reason that I say these things this morning, and I just picked on that part and just maybe shared that, was before our problem. The God was about before our problem. The God will be about after your problem. And certainly, surprise, surprise, God will be present in our problem. Because he says that I will be the God in the midst of Israel. I will be the God in the midst of your problem. I will be the God in the midst of the fiery furnace that those three young men went through. I will be your God and I will never leave you or forsake you. I am the God of now, even though that I am the God of the past and the future. I'm with you here and now. And I want to make a difference to your life here and now. And now that means taking care of some issues in the past. Let's get them dealt with today, this morning, in God's house, in this place, as we allow him to be the God of time that was and is to come. I shared with you, we believed that lie for so long about our problems of the past. It's with us. That we've suffered with or put up with, and it's the more difficult for God to deal with it. Well, I've had this problem for 20 years. I've had this problem since I was young. I've had this problem for whatever it is. You know, maybe I just need to learn to live with it. Now I know there's some. We could look at some things in the Bible where it speaks about Paul having to live with his thing, but let's think a little bit differently for that for today. God would not would want you to live with guilt, condemnation, in heartache, broken, beaten up, because that's not where Paul was. Nothing that happened to Paul stopped him doing what God needed him to do. It didn't control him or define him. And in fact, it made him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's just a different way that we look at things sometimes. Time is a way of cementing our reality in our minds and forming some barriers which is so difficult to get past. Barriers that just take away our hope. And if you are in church this morning and you feel hopeless, let's refresh ourselves with a God who is hopeful. Hallelujah. Because it says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, your faith today, to believe in a God that is impossible, which will feed your hope. Yes, it's going to happen. Yes, God's got it in control. And maybe today he will remind us of that we have by renewing our faith in him. You know, there's a reason why we come into God's house. There's a reason why we come into God's presence. That's to be lifted up. Lifted up, not just hear some words which will tickle us for a moment, but lifted up in our spirit to believe for the impossible, but to go out and face the trials of this world. You see, with that, I don't need to feel like those unfortunate people I was sharing with you earlier on that suffer from mental illnesses. Now there is a message of hope for those who are suffering with mental illnesses. There is a message of God can transform them. There is a message that God will befriend them, because when you look at most of their circumstances, all they needed was a buddy. All they needed was someone. They were lost in their lonelinesses. And when we see people who are suffering from mental illnesses, it's because most of the time they are lost in their loneliness and they need Jesus Christ, hallelujah, as their eternal friend who sticks closer than a brother. God is awesome. We hear people say, "Oh, it's too late for me." Have you ever thought that about yourself? Have you ever slipped into that? It's too late for me, God. No, I've gone too far. We had a conversation last week that somebody was really focusing on. They felt that they couldn't be in church because they were not doing what they thought God wanted them to do. Listen, if you're not doing what God wants, you think God wants you to be doing, then this is exactly the place you need to be. Because he's the one that's going to speak to you. He's the one that's going to just encourage you. And he's the one that's going to say to you, it doesn't really matter. You just fell down and bumped your knee, and I'm going to lift you back up again. And I'm going to wipe away the graze, and I'm going to hold your hand and take you on and on. It's never too late for you. It's never too late for the people that we've been praying for and believing for. You know, and I know some of us that have lived with, you know, we could so easily, some of the things that my son says sometimes, and you just think, no, Lord, he's gone too far. No, he hasn't. He is not because I hold on to that hope and I see some little chinks and some vulnerabilities and some weaknesses as that pride comes tumbling down and their thoughts come, and I just keep on believing with a God of hope. I renew it by retelling stories and recounting testimonies that God have given when their families have broken through. I remind themselves of my own testimony. I remind myself of speaking. Andrew, don't you forget, there was a day where you never thought this was possible. 25 years ago, you would have never dreamt to have been in a church, let alone standing in a pulpit, speaking a message to God's people. So anything's possible, look at me. And we could say the same for you this morning. I would hope that you would want to say the same. Anything is possible. Look at me. Look how God's transformed me. And if you're not feeling like that, look around and see what God has done and say, I want some of that. And then go for it. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Did you know that scripture? Let's not just throw that one away this morning. Let's hold on to that. Because I got my calculator out. I had 1,000 years to us is as a day to God. So I just punched some numbers in. And I come up with a little sum, a little answer to my equation. If you're good at mental maths, then you could do that in your head maybe. But I come up with 20 years of our time, 29 minutes to God. Wow. That's not a lot, is it? 20 years is 29 minutes of God time. He's just popped out and made a cup of tea in the kitchen. He's put the kettle on. He's had a meal. He's gone down the shops. He's done whatever God does. And 20 years have gone past in your life when you're thinking, I've had to put up with this all the time. But God comes back in and says, 29 minutes? Right, now let me deal with that problem. Now I know that he's God and he's omnipresent, omnipotent, all over the place at all times and could do anything. And he can come through and break through on your life. But if I can share the alpha mind of God, then I can endure something for 29 minutes. If I've got God's perspective on the issues that are going on. You see, what I'm trying to say is that lifetime problems, we don't have to learn to live with them. Because at the 29th or the 30th minute, God can break through on your life. However long that you put up with it. Let's not get conditioned and preconditioned to the fact that it's gone on for too long, that God can't break through now because, well, why didn't he do it 19 years ago, 18 years ago, 17 years ago? Why didn't he just do it 15 minutes ago? Well, maybe he will. In relation to whatever it is. Maybe it's 20 years of preparation for 1 year of glory that can break through and transform his church because of what you enable and let God do in your life. Maybe. There's lots of maybes today that can be turned into certainties with God when we just lay down our lives and surrender and say, God, you are the God of time. You can change things. My perception of time is limited 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, 4 weeks in a month. It was four and a bit, didn't it? 52 weeks in a year. I should have just skipped to that and left the months off. And however many. You see, the things that are repetitive cycles in your life, week after week after week after week after week after month after year after year after year, can stop here this morning. Because you allow the God of time to break through and change situations. 2 weeks' time, on the 30th of October, then the clocks go back. British summertime ends. Is it called it winter saving or something like that? Is that what they call it? It's not an old thing. It's quite new when we look at it. Certainly during my lifetime, that the clocks have changed. and it was to allow for the lighter mornings, I believe, for school children to go to school safer. Is that right? Some of us remember. Is that, yeah? Yeah, good. And 1 hour. 20 years is 29 minutes. If man can turn the clock back 1 hour so that it didn't happen, can God not do the same? Can God not turn your clock back? And that's the message that comes from God this morning. I control time. God wants you to know that. That whatever situation has maybe caused you to be in misery, heartache, difficulty, just let me turn the clock back an hour. I can transform things. Yes, Lord, I want to believe that. Or we just say, oh, it's too late for me. Not even turning the clock back an hour will make any difference. Yes, it will. Start changing our attitude and our mind and our concept and our thoughts towards God of being the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, what is, what was, what is, and what is to come. He can control every single thing. To the point that we say, in what problem? What problem? Did I have a problem? I can't remember having a problem. What condition? What sickness? What illness? It's gone in Jesus' name. What financial crisis when God breaks through and provides for you? What are you worried about? Just by allowing God to turn the clock back. And I want to look at a story in the gospel this morning that God did exactly that. That he has the power over time. Please turn with me as we turn to John chapter 5. I just want to read some verses 1 to 5 to begin with. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the removing of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whoever then, first after troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole, and whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. You may have wondered why I worked on blocks of 20 years and an hour. Here is this man that had this condition for 38 years. What's that in God time? Oh, the calculation is not difficult. 2 times 29. Come on. 58 minutes. That's all. Yet God was going to break through and transform that man's life. Totally and absolutely. But he had to deal with some issues. Let's first of all look at where this was. This was in Bethesda. This is the house of grace. A house of outpouring. When we look and we examine what was happening at this particular time, it's far from being a house of grace. And it's far from being a house of outpouring. Because if you see that they were waiting. They were waiting for the moving of the water. And it says that they lay in great multitudes of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of that water. But this in a obscure sort of way just reminded me of our NHS at the moment. That there's people waiting in corridors to be looked at by people. Can you just picture this scene? That this was this place, this was in Bethesda, but this was God's original intention, and God was going to break through today and reclaim some stuff to maintain and bring back the meaning and reality of what Bethesda was as the house of grace and house of outpouring. That's why Jesus was there as well as just touching and having this encounter with this man. You see, the complex of pools in Herod's temple was a religious sanatorium where people just went and just hoped that something superstitious or religious might happen. I say those things because not relationship of what we have in God. They thought that it might happen. It was called, you have to excuse me pronouncing this, Asclepius. The god of medicine, believed to be a kind of gentle savior to the infirm. Oh, you just come along and We'll just make you feel nice. Let me tell you one thing. The Church of Jesus Christ is not somewhere where you just come along and you feel nice. Bethesda, the house of grace, the house of outpouring, is a place where you will be transformed. You see, you don't have to wait. If you wait, where is the grace in that? If I've got to wait and suffer, where is my God that says that I will be with you? I will be there for you. The place in healing and restoration have become a bit of a place of superstition and religion, all man-made. Nothing to do with God. They slept in one of the temples called as an incubatio. We can see where you get the word incubator from that. Because it just looks after them. They have a little bit of heat, makes them feel better. A little bit of soothing or whatever it was. And they would just lull off to sleep. Maybe somebody sung them a lullaby, I don't know. But they'd fall asleep. And they would dream of being healed. Have you ever dreamt of being healed by God? Have you ever been that desperate that you start dreaming of how things you want them to be? And then the ironic thing was, and they would wake up, they would dream of being healed by Eclipsius. Some would actually wake up and be in good health. And they would be then so grateful that they would bring gifts of gold and silver. Now, that's odd, isn't it? What is it? Well, the chances are, as these people who claim to be able to do these supernatural things, they were, yeah, I think you've got a sister or a brother whose name is Bert, and you have the spiritualism and the mediums that will do things, then there is this dark world that will work through and manifest itself in some things. But it's through superstition, it's through religion, it's through maybe even just down to the, here's a bottle of pills. See what they can do. Strangely enough, we were talking the other night with this miracle shampoo that gets rid of tangled hair. And I thought about it before even Linda said that, because I was in the bath the day before and I was looking at the label and I thought, what is so special about that shampoo? It's probably just water. But there isn't anything special about it. But if you use it, it'll get rid of your tangles. Because it's been planted in your mind that will get rid of it. And so if somebody plants something in your mind, and you dream, then there is a chance of that placebo effect, that actually we've done nothing for you, but you will just feel better. But let me tell you, it's not long lasting. It's just a feeling. And we don't go by feelings, we go by assurance. And what I am assured of, I don't know the answers to this. I don't know why some would have woken up in the morning and felt a lot better and others perhaps didn't do it. But all I know is that it was a form of godliness to keep things working in the natural realm. And it was not of God. Because why would God keep people waiting in the waiting room? Why would he keep people waiting for 38 years of suffering when he could break through at any time? How many times in that 38 years, is that 38 years of misery, would that man have dreamt of being healed? I would suggest that he went through a few occasions. But he relied on somebody to actually pick him up and throw him in the pool. Listen, if there was only one, if there was a group of people and they believed all this superstition and all this stuff that was going on, they'd be fighting to be the first one in, wouldn't they? He can paint a funny picture, crippled and lame people. It can paint a humorous picture of people with difficulties, all trying to scramble at the same time to get healed by this thing. And that's the sadness of the world, that people are scrambling around and messing around, trying to find ways to make things all right, relying on people. How many times have you heard, God helps those who help themselves? Well, this man was crippled. He couldn't help himself. So when there's people that are hurt, when there's people that are broken, when there's people that are addicts and they're suffering, And the message of the world, let them help themselves. It's their own fault. They shouldn't be taking it, or they shouldn't be doing it. They are not able to help themselves. And the strange thing is because they're all mixing in the same circles, there is no man that can help them either. They need Christ. They need the Church of Jesus Christ to show them there is a different way. Now, I'm not going to suggest that anyone stops taking medication or that anybody stops doing anything that they've been advised to do by their doctors, their physicians, or whatever. All I will say to you is that God is well able to transform your life and heal you to the point of restoration, fully restored in Him. But God will do that because He is the God of time. What problem? What sickness? What financial crisis? Gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What unbelieving relative? I can't remember any of that. There's a wonderful song, I can't remember who sings it. I don't even, it might have been Cher. If I could turn back time. If I could turn back time. Oop, I better delete that off this. If I could find my way. Well, listen, you can't turn back time, but you can find the way this morning, and it's in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And He is the God who will turn back the time on your life. He has the astonishing power over time. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the one that was and is to come. Praise the Lord. You see, the ironic thing about this message is when you look at it, the one who probably got in the pool was the one that was least needy. Not the one who was most needy. Because the one who was least needed would have been able to get in there. So you can see from that, that would discount most of us being able to have the gift of salvation this morning. Because I am not able to do that. And in fact, nobody is able to do that. For Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells me quite clearly, it is by grace we are saved. Through faith. And not of yourself. I got no one to throw me in the water. It doesn't matter. God is there for you. God is with you. You don't need to be thrown in this water. You just need to answer some questions, maybe. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So maybe today, I can say to you, maybe today, God's message is to you is stop dreaming. You don't need to be dreaming anymore. Yeah. You just need to get hold of something which is the reality. Yeah. Because dreams and this superstition, you will always be disappointed. Get hold of the truth in Christ, hallelujah, and be ready for when He speaks some words to you. When Jesus saw him lying there, He knew that how long he'd been there, and in that case He said unto him, "Will you be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am come in, another steps down before me." Jesus asked, "Do you want to be made whole?" The man is so preconditioned by his condition and his sickness, he doesn't even answer the question. I asked you, "Do you want to be made whole?" This is where I see this beginning to emerge as the house of grace. Because if I'd asked that question and somebody had answered that back, I've said, I'd have been short with them. I'd have been abrupt with them. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you to explain what your problem is. I already know. I asked you, do you want to be made any different? But you see, I've got to... No! Stop making excuses. Just answer the flipping question. And God goes out and makes a cup of tea. And comes back in another 29 minutes when you are ready to answer the question. Because maybe you've not answered the question for the last 20 years or the last 29 minutes. And maybe you're still making excuses. The "are but" church. We are not an "are but" church. We are a "nevertheless" church that discounts everything that has gone before and believes in the promise and holds on to it. Says, "God, praise you." So if you're someone like that, how do you say, what would you answer now if Jesus was here this morning? I should correct myself, shouldn't I? Because why did I say if he's here this morning? Maybe what the question will be if Jesus is asking you this morning. Do you want to be made whole? He deals with his physical body first of all, with the restoring of him. Later on in the story, which I'm not covering in this morning's preaching, he comes back to him and after he had a little discussion and says, "You are made whole, your sins are forgiven." The healing of the body didn't complete the process. It was "your sins are forgiven" which makes you whole. But Jesus realized that the man needed to be healed. Hallelujah. And I see the house of grace, the house of outpouring, flooding in, breaking through on this man's life. The day that the astonishing power of Jesus would triumph over potluck. It might happen today, might happen tomorrow. And you replace that superstition and that chance and religion that you placed in worldly thoughts and ways in your assurance through God. It will happen today. How can I stand here at the front and say that? Because that's the way faith speaks. I see it. I believe it. I acknowledge it. It's what I've asked God in my life. When he's asked me, "Do you want to be made whole?" Yes, of course I do. I don't like being broken and beat up and whatever. I want to be made whole, restored in you. Hallelujah. Held up as a child of God, spirit filled to speak his word, to speak the astonishing power of Jesus, to speak the beautiful name of Jesus. Because it's beautiful in my ears, it's beautiful in my heart. I know the difference it has made in my life. God is awesome. He's beautiful. Reminded of that chorus recently of "Jesus, what a beautiful name." Don't you know that one? Son of man, son of God. Life, lamb that was slain. Grace and it's beautiful. Maybe we'll get that back into our worship sometime and renew our thoughts on that. Potluck religion, and over time itself that Jesus has the triumph over. In verse 8 he says, "Rise." Jesus didn't stop there. "Well, you didn't answer the question." You're not going any further until you answer the question. Because he would see the vulnerability in that man's heart. He would see the heart crying out. He would see the disappointment. He would see everything of his last 40 years. And right at that moment he said, "Tick, tick, 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 tick. Here goes the clock. I'm just about to turn it back. Rise. Take up your bed. And walk." What a wonderful moment when that man receives, hallelujah, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything comes under the authority of Jesus. Jesus spoke and something miraculous happened. The man's atrophied bones, it says immediately the man made with whole, took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. Immediately, those atrophied bones and muscles, 38 years, I had my arm in plaster and my leg in plaster at different stages of my life, and you take the plaster off and you go, I don't recognize that, that didn't belong to me, does it? Skinny, horrible, bony thing that is there, that's just after a short term in plaster. Imagine for 38 years not being able to do anything. And suddenly the strength comes back into bones who have been buckling and bending under the weight. And today God could do the same for you. He can confirm your feeble knees. He can strengthen the hands that hang down so that you raise them up to him and give him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. He will cause you to be strong and to walk in his ways. Because that's what God can do. Rise. Rise. Get up. Get ready to believe that I am the God of time. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the one that was, that is, and is to come. And I can do the impossible. Are there any our buts here at the moment? Or are you just going to grab hold of that? Come on, tell your faces this morning. I'm grabbing hold of the promise of God. Because it's real. You see, if you can't rejoice in the goodness of God in God's house, in a place where there's outpouring, where there's a place of grace, don't leave here this morning with a spirit of heaviness. God will turn the clock back, even if it's before the time that you came in here today, and change things. Nearly 40 years of misery was gone in an instant as God turned that clock back. Time had conditioned this man and relegated it to this sanatorium. And that's what the world does, and time does in our minds. But that was also, there was also something else significant, because Jesus said on here, the same day was the Sabbath. Why is he saying that? He wasn't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. This was a kick in the face for the religious people. We went through that in part of this studies and series of the teachings of Jesus' life. That Jesus stood and was pretty radical against every religious thing that was going on in those days, because he was not a religious man, he was a relationship man. And he drew people to relations with him, not just did things because they've always done things. It is the Sabbath, and again it's repeated, and I believe that that day was significant because Jesus made a statement and reclaimed the Sabbath as his. The Sabbath belonged to God. It was a day of rest, it was a day of peace, it was a day of recovering, it was a day of recuperation, it was a day of sharing, it was a day of joy, it was a day of eating and rejoicing and dancing and doing all that stuff. Building you up. Let God reclaim the Sabbath of your life this morning and allow him to build you up. It's repeated again in John 9:1-4 when he healed the blind man, and we hear the words, and it was the Sabbath. Jesus was reclaiming it as his, because it's not just a day that belongs to him. He is the Alpha and Omega. It all belongs to him. So often, when the world speaks, it brings disappointments, misery, and false hope. But when Jesus spoke on that day, he brought peace back into that man's life. And Jesus could bring a word of peace into you. It says in John 14:27, peace I bring to you, peace I leave with you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So the God over time and the Sabbath belongs to me. He says, I am the Alpha. This Sabbath belongs to me. I am the God of restoration. My house is the house of grace and outpouring. And that grace and outpouring is intended not just for him, it's intended for you. You see, this is for all. The gospel message goes out for all who believe. Do you believe this morning? Have you been encouraged this morning by the word of God? Let me share with you a closing scripture in Joel 2:25-27. Perhaps something that's familiar to you. But I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and the great army which I sent amongst you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I shared that one earlier on, didn't I, that portion of scripture. And that I am the Lord your God, and that none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. I will restore you. The God of time will restore with you today. Everything that things, it mentions the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, everything that has been devoured, everything that has been turned rotten in your life, that God can transform here this morning in an instant. This isn't a definition of the word restore, but by telling you this about God, it really puts into context what God is in the business of doing. Restoration is a perfectness and completeness, and is primarily attributed to God. He is deficient in nothing, and his attributes are not marred by any shortcomings. His power is not limited by weakness. So I just want to encourage us this morning, as we allow the Holy Spirit to come here this morning amongst us and move amongst us, to minister to us, and let us just meditate on some of those issues that we've talked about this morning, that we've heard from God, that He is the God of time. And it doesn't matter, maybe it's some stuff that you've been having real difficulty in dealing with in your own life. It's whatever it is. I don't want to put it in a package or a box or whatever it is today, but whatever it is, just allow God, you know. And there's a couple of things that we can do to help us through that process. We're going to ask Craig to come back up and just play some music, or Julie to play some music. I just want to pray for us as a church, and just maybe just acknowledge God is here. God is here to make the difference. You may just want to stand and give a word of thanks this morning, whatever it is. If you want to acknowledge God, stand in the presence of God this morning. Do we acknowledge Him as the God of all time? Do we acknowledge Him that He can turn that clock back right now? If man can do it in the physical for just 1 hour, just think what God can do. He turned that man's clock back, and the man went leaping and abounding, just as he did in the book of Acts when Paul and Peter and John were at the temple, and they prayed, "Gold and silver I had none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And he did. The joy in this man's life of being restored. But listen, the joy in being restored fully and made whole this morning is by having our sins forgiven. So maybe your prayer this morning could be, it doesn't matter about the sins of my past, because God can take them away. As far as the east is from the west, He can rub them away right now. And we just confess and acknowledge Jesus Christ as the God of time. And that question that Jesus answered that day, He said, "Do you want to be made whole?" You know, if there's any hesitation in us this morning, I would suggest that maybe now's not the time that you answer that. But if the answer is yes, let's stand and acknowledge Him this morning as the God of time, and that we are ready to answer that question, because that's the question that God asks you this morning. Do you want to be made whole? And then, what will your answer be? Yes. When we do, we can be instantly transformed and changed and become new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let's just stand in the presence of God this morning. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.